Right. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Bring it up.
All right.
It's going to take me about 4 or 5 times, amen, to get it right. I got this on my belt. Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not listening to Ken, amen. All right. All right, they want me to preach, man. Be quiet. Turn to Luke chapter 2, amen. As I was saying, happy Father's Day to all you fathers, you dads out there. I'm a young dad. Kezzy's about to turn 4. And I guess some good advice that I had as far as being a father, being a dad, best thing you can do for your kids is spend time alone with God and fellowship with God. And it's hard when you're working and trying to provide, and then you want to spend time with your kids when you get home from work after you've been working all day. But that's what makes it worth it all when you fight and when you struggle and when you finally get a chance to sit there and relax in the Lord and open up the Bible and read, like on a Sunday afternoon. That's some of the greatest times you'll get. So we'll take a minute, we'll pray, and then we'll get into this message here in Luke chapter 2. Now, Father God, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to preach. And I pray that you please bless this word now, God, to your folks, Lord. And, God, I just pray that you do a work, Lord. I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to meet with us, touch our hearts, God. I thank you how you've worked in my life and what you showed me through this passage. And I just pray that you'd show it to these folks, too, how you showed it to me, Lord. And I love you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to look at this man, Simeon, in Luke chapter 2 and starting in verse 25. I'll try it, Ken. All right. Can you hear me? No? Can you hear me now? All right, good. All right, all that out of the way. Luke chapter 2 and starting in verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Amen. That's a great statement right there. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce to thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed." All right, so like I said, we're going to look at this guy, Simeon, here. And you ever been reading through the Bible in a certain, well, maybe not reading, you just do going about your life in a certain passage of scripture or a certain verse will come to your mind and just keeps resonating in your mind, and you don't know where it's at, and so you go to look at it, you go to look for it, and you find the certain passage of scripture, but then you read the verses all around and you're like, wow, the Lord opens up something to you. And that's kind of what happened to me when the Lord showed me some of these things about Simeon. All right, so back to verse 25, I want you to notice Simeon's position. I'm just going to get right to it, the position of Simeon. And I mean geographically at first. Look what he says in verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem, as you know, that was a holy city. It is a holy city. That's the apple of God's eye, the Bible says. And, I mean, if you look at any kind of pictures of it today, it don't look like much to modern man, I'd say. But there's something about that city. And our pastor was there a while back, and while he was over there, so a fellow was telling me about this thing called the Jerusalem Syndrome. Has anybody ever heard of that? The Jerusalem Syndrome, where these people, foreigners, all travel to Jerusalem, and then they get this weird thing happen to them where they start acting like Bible characters over there. I'm not kidding. It's a real thing. There was a lady from Ireland. She went over there, and she rushed to a hospital, and she was adamant that she was about to deliver the baby Jesus, and she wasn't even pregnant. It's a real thing. Look it up for yourself, according to, you know, to the Telegraph, which that's out of England. I don't know about, you know, that's out of England. So, but I looked it up. Somebody told me about it. And there was that case. There was a Canadian man. He claimed he was Samson. He went over there. He was trying to pull stones out of the Wailing Wall, and they had to arrest him for it because he was going crazy. Another Austrian man, he flipped out into a rage in his hotel because they wouldn't give him the Last Supper. That's what he ordered. He said, I want the Last Supper. And they wouldn't give it to him, and he flipped out, and he got arrested. And according to that article, it said 50 cases a year where delusions are so strong that mental health professionals and police have to get involved with these people. And so while preacher was over there, I was wondering, man, what's he going to turn into?
I'm John the Baptist.
Amen. It was going to be something like that. You know what the truth is? Most people claim that they're either John the Baptist or King Solomon. Most of these cases, that's what they, according to that article, whether it's true or not, I don't know. Yeah, amen. They always claim that they're either John the Baptist, well, not always, but most times they're either John the Baptist or King Solomon. So you say, why are you telling us all this stuff? Well, geographically, this man Simeon, he was in the right place, right? He was in Jerusalem. He was in the temple of God in the story. And how we can glean, now, whenever I'm looking at this scripture, I'm trying to apply it to me. It is kind of self-sounding, but this book was written for admonition. It was written for our learning. Yeah. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness. And when I'm reading, man, the Lord speaks to me.
Amen,
and I'm glad for that. I'm so glad that the Lord opens up the scripture to me personally and shows me things. Not that I'm special or any kind of a thing, but I'm saved by the grace of God, and he's given me his word. And that's how he communicates with you. That's what fellowship's all about. And so when you read the word of God, you ought to have these times when the scripture opens up to you. I can't explain it, but I can remember the first times it began to happen to me. It was like scripture was flashing out of there. I couldn't explain it. I thought something was coming back, a flashback from, you know, when I was living in the world or whatever. But, man, it was the Lord speaking to me. And I wasn't drunk. I wasn't high. It was God, the Holy Spirit of God coming on me. And I was grateful for that.
Amen.
All right. So this man, Simeon, geographically, he was in the right place. He was in Jerusalem, and he was in the temple. And so you and I here tonight, we're in the right place.
Amen.
Amen? You're in the right place.
Amen.
I'm sad to see that half the church is basically empty tonight.
Right.
I'm sad to see that. I don't know that's how it goes, but I don't like seeing that. I'm not pleased with that. And, you know, talking about all them crazies over there in Jerusalem, sometimes you have some crazies come in here, amen? you guys have been here longer than I have. I've only been around for steady almost 5 years, but even in this past 5 years, we've seen some crazy folks come through here. But hey, that's what when the Spirit of the Lord, something's happening around the Word of God, and the Spirit of the Lord's in something, you're going to have things happen like that. And so that's the truth. But thank God that you're in the right place tonight. You are in the right place tonight.
Yeah.
Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and magnified, wherever the Word of God is preached and magnified, man, you're in a good place.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we have this building that we can meet in. I'm glad we have air conditioning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have all those things. But, man, sometimes, like I was saying, you could be in your room. You could be sitting in the cab of your truck at lunchtime and open up the Word of God and get just as much from that time of fellowship than any time that you're in a great big congregation where everyone's hooping and hollering and having a good time. I love those times, and I'm grateful for those times. But those small, still, quiet times with the Lord, and I believe this man Simeon had a lot of that, and he was in the right place. And in this passage, he was in the right place at the right time. Amen? So what else about Simeon? You and I tonight, we're in the right place geographically. Simeon was in the right place geographically at this time. Look what else the Bible says in verse 25. And the same man was just and devout. Amen? Just and devout. There aren't too many men in the Bible that were given those titles, given those attributes. There really weren't that many. I got them written down right here. I looked it up. Noah was considered a just man, called a just man in the Word of God. Jesus was called a just man. John the Baptist was called a just man. Joseph, Jesus' stepdad. Simeon here was called a just man. Cornelius, the Roman centurion in Acts chapter 10. That's it. There's the only men in the Bible called just men that were specifically called just men. I take that pretty serious.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I mean, I know there's great attributes of other men throughout the Bible that maybe weren't specifically called just men, but the word just, I got it written down here so I don't misquote it or tell you wrong. It means regular or orderly, upright and honest. Amen. They're just. Influenced by, here's how it applies spiritually, influenced by a regard to the laws of God. Just. And there might be some just men in here tonight. You're influenced and you have a high regard to the laws of God. according to the Bible. You regard the Word of God. I don't believe half you folks would be here tonight. I believe this church would probably be less full than it is now if you didn't have some kind of regard for the Word of God. Amen. So that's something you can relate with Simeon. All right, another thing he was called devout. And just simply you can say devout, devoted. You're devoted to something. You're devoted to the cause of getting the gospel out. You're devoted to keeping these doors open. He said, if you don't show up, that's a vote to keep the doors, to shut the doors down completely if you don't show up. And that's another thing I was getting at. You know, you see these folks that ain't here, man, it tears you up when there's somebody you know that was once here, and you guys know better than me, there's a lot of folks that come through here like that. And it's sad to think where they are right now. And I'm not going to stand here and say that ain't going to be me, because it could be. I'm not going to be that one that says, I'll never quit God, because I know that, man, without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. But I know where the goods are, too, amen. And I like being close to where I can get a blessing, amen. All right, so notice what else here. He was just and devout, Simeon was. Great attributes in you and I. Ain't much more you can say about that. You and I ought to be just and devout. If you read, if you pay attention to the Word of God, and the things in Scripture that are attributes and things that we ought to cling to and try to apply to our lives, things throughout Proverbs, things that instruction that Paul gave throughout the epistles, it should have just come naturally that you're just and devout. Amen. And this man Simeon, he was just and devout. He was devoted. Now look what this next couple words says. I pay attention, man, specifically to some of these things coming out in the middle of a verse. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for something. He was specific. He kept showing up to that temple, and he was waiting for something. I don't know if he lived in Jerusalem. I don't. Maybe some of you guys might know, read something somewhere else. But according to the Bible, what I've read, this is the only thing I know about this man, Simeon. And he was just and devout. He was in the right place at the right time, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you know how that applies to us? We're waiting for something too, amen. We're waiting for something too. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Turn to Titus chapter 2. I want to exhort you tonight, especially here, if you don't get anything else from what's said and done here, this ought to get you excited. This ought to stir up some remembrance for you tonight. Amen. We're waiting for something. Excuse me. Titus chapter 2, and starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. That's like the icing on the cake, amen? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing in the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why else look for him? I know it's going to be a benefit for us to get out of here, but man, he gave himself for us. We ought to be devoted, devout to the Lord Jesus Christ in this life and applying those things in verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living soberly. There's nothing wrong with being sober about things. The Bible says be sober, not somber. That's the difference. People think when you're sober about certain things, when you're sober-minded, he's, you know, drier than cracker juice or whatever. Not so. There's a difference between somber and sober. You ought to keep a level head about things. I like having fun and joking around a little bit, but the Bible talks about foolish jesting and going too far with things and living soberly, righteously, and godly, living God's way, Brother Mike Shane, like that brother said, living God's way in this present world and then looking for that blessed hope. Take your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. A couple verses here. All throughout these epistles, Paul exhorts these people and admonishes these people to be looking and waiting for something here. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Brother Mike preached the other night about surviving the wait. Amen. This ought to help you. This could help you when you're surviving the wait this Christian life. You got a promise. There's a comfort. That's what the word consolation means. It's a comfort that we have a home in heaven, that he's coming to get us out of here one of these days. And even if we die on the battlefield, thank God we have a home waiting for us. There's a comfort in that. And also, too, we have a comfort in our home away from home. Amen. The Holy Ghost, we have that comfort, which we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Imagine that. Imagine if the gospel was so infiltrated throughout this land, and it has been pretty well saturated, but it's been corrupted. The last couple, however many years, it's been corrupted. But Paul's saying here that these guys were on it. They were on it to the point where they didn't even need to speak anything. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to hell when I die. That's what highly influenced me to be saved. Amen. I'm glad I heard somebody preach or teach about the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, and the Holy Spirit and that word of God bore witness to those things and convinced me and convicted me that I was going there. Amen. And that's when I got saved, when I realized those things. I didn't want to go there. And then you could say, well, Doc always used to say, it's better to be hell scared than hell scorched. Amen. Yeah. That's what made me turn to Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, I'll go. I don't want to go to hell. So he's waiting. We ought to be waiting for the Jesus Christ to come. We've got a couple more verses here. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. That's kind of more of a Bible study, I guess you could say, but good. It's a blessing, man. Good. Romans chapter 8. Let's see here. Where am I at? Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Even creation itself is waiting for to be redeemed. Amen. Just like you and I. I'm ready to go now. I would be glad to go now. I say that, but I would. If the Lord called us home right now, that'd be just fine. Yeah. I don't need to see anything else. Yeah. Let me go. And that's what old Simeon said in that passage. He said, he had the baby Jesus Christ in his hands. He said, Lord, you can take me home now, basically is what he said. I've seen thy salvation. Yeah. Amen. And if you had that kind of an attitude through life, man, you don't have time for, being down in the mouth about things. Right. If you had that kind of an attitude in this life, you wouldn't be, worried about this or that. You'd be more zealous after souls. You got your place fixed in heaven. Amen. Thank God. And that ought to encourage you and stir you up that time's running short. Amen. And that you do have an obligation to present the gospel to other folks. Amen. And you ought to be on the job. There's nothing that we have no excuse. We really don't. Amen. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of a body. Some of you folks might be groaning more than someone like me. Maybe your body's falling apart. I don't know. You might be really seriously groaning. But I'll tell you what, I'm tired. I don't want to fail the Lord anymore or feel like I failed God anymore because of sin and because of just this shortcomings and all these things. I don't want that. I've got enough I got to answer to God for. Amen? And I'd be glad if the Lord come back and got us out of here. All right, turn to 2 Timothy. Lastly, you know this passage. Everybody in here should know this passage pretty well. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pastors taught us well. We're all going to receive, or a Christian has the opportunity to receive rewards in heaven. And there's five crowns that are presented in the Word of God. And here's one that everyone in this room could get pretty simple. You can get it. It doesn't take a whole lot to get this crown. Amen. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Amen. It's no wonder Paul is probably going to have every crown. It's not going to be any surprise if we see Paul, laden with all that. But he says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Loving his appearing. And just like old Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, every Christian in this room tonight could be waiting for the consolation and the redemption of our bodies, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Amen. All right, so turn back to Luke chapter 2. And look in verse 26, or the end of verse 25, like I was saying, another consolation, another comfort that we have in this life is that in our home away from home, we have the Holy Ghost, amen. the Comforter. Amen. And look in the end of verse 25, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And what did the Holy Ghost do? It says in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a thing, man. What a thing. But with that comfort that the Holy Ghost brings, he also can bring, I'm going to give the word, revelation. He can reveal things to you out of the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that word. But the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you throughout your life. Like I was saying, it doesn't have to be some great big deep, you know, dark doctrinal thing. The Holy Ghost can reveal to you every day what you need to do through life. And somebody told me one time a long time ago, it takes the same amount of faith for you to live for Jesus Christ every day that it took for you to get saved. It's the decision you make. It's the decision you make. You're either going to do what the Lord tells you to do or you're not going to do it. It's just that simple. And to think that you took that time to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith in him at that time, and then you can go through this life and deny him after that, It blows my mind. I mean, we have that ability. It's our will against his will. And you think about Brother Ethan the other night was preaching about the pride and your will and these things, and thinking about Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, not my will, but thine be done. And it makes great preaching, but it's a whole other thing to apply these things that we hear. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. So the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you. And this man had wisdom from God. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Thank God. Amen. Ask and ye shall receive. He's not going to upbraid you if you say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need your help. He's not going to upbraid you for that. That give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. Turn to James chapter 3. Problem is, you get caught up in your own will. And thankfully, Simeon didn't have this problem. But turn to James chapter 3. Two different kinds of wisdom here in the Word of God. In James 3 and verse 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a manner of life, and his speech, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Therein lies the problem. A lot of times we can be saved as the day is long and we're just good fakers. Amen. Amen. Say amen out there because it's the truth. You got bitter and envying and strife in your hearts sometimes. And it ought not be there. And when you start getting in, when that kind of thing is prevalent in your life, look what it says in verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Things start getting all twisted up and mixed up in there. And for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And I just want to exhort you. You got to be careful with guarding your heart. That's what the brother preached on. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. That's some good stuff right there. I mean, I don't know what to say about expounding on that anymore. It says what it says. Yeah. Wisdom that's from above is pure. You know when things are decisions you need to make, decisions that come up in your life. You know whether it's from God or whether it's of the world or whether it's of the flesh, and you know that you can resort to God and cling to His mercy and try to give it all, everything to Him. Every decision you make, you can give it to Him. You have that ability to surrender your will to His will. And the Holy Spirit helps you with that, and the Word of God helps you with that. So that was that man's position. He was in the right place at the right time. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Spiritually, his position, man, he was waiting for something. And he had the Holy Ghost on him. And there's people just like that here tonight. You're in the right place at the right time. Hopefully you're looking for the Lord to come back. Amen. and you got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you if you're saved, that's for sure. But whether or not you're following him, that's I can't tell that. I don't know if you're following the Holy Ghost or not. I don't know if God's leading your life or if you're just putting on. Like I said, Christians can be real good at putting on sometimes. And I'm trying to help you. Don't be like that. This man, he had nothing else to lose. I imagine Simeon doesn't say if he was an old man or not, but to me it just seems like he was probably up in age. He had seen and done things. He had been coming faithful to that temple. He was waiting for something to happen. And look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit. There he goes. He keeps getting led by the Holy Spirit. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Amen. Could you imagine that? Amen. Try to put yourself there and try to imagine that. This man sees this, he knows. He knows what it is. Just like I said, the Holy Spirit can reveal to you and show you what you know, what you know is what's right. You ought to know when you read, take up the Word of God, when you read, you know what the Lord is telling you is right. Or when you hear preaching, you know it's right.
Yeah.
And here, this man Simeon saw this and took him up in his arms. And that Bible says, we've handled the word of life over there in John. I'm going to turn to it because I'm going to misquote it. Look over in 1 John. Could you imagine handling Jesus Christ? In 1 John 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. That man Simeon saw that little child, Jesus Christ, and he knew this was a special child. Man, I couldn't imagine. That'd been something. He took up Jesus Christ and held him in his arms, and then look what he said. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He knew. He had a promise from the word of God that this Messiah was coming, and he knew it. And what a blessing for him. I'm sure he was rejoicing. I'm sure he was so glad that he had this promise from God, and it was right there. So here he was in Jerusalem. He went to the temple, and lo and behold, what a coincidence, right? You ever had those coincidences happen in your life? When you're trying to follow the Lord, and the Lord leads you to a certain place, and next thing you know, you run into somebody, or the Lord answers a prayer. What a coincidence, right? No, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank God, it's real.
Yeah.
And you can be glad and rejoice in that. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation in verse 30. What a proclamation he made. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Those are some strong words. They're strong to me anyway. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That little child, Jesus Christ as a baby. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ was a statement that God made. I mean, it was more than just a statement, but I mean, that was God. I think about these lines of demarcation in different places. You know, like North Korea and Vietnam, they had lines of demarcation. There's a line drawn in the sand that God placed for all mankind, for all humanity, when Jesus Christ came to this earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that serious. And we tend to just read these stories, and it's just another story to us sometimes. But you think about this, man. This guy got to see it before it all unfurled. I don't know how long he lived after this event or what. Maybe he died right after, keeled over right after that. I don't know. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go now. Maybe the Lord just took him. That would have been a blessing. But he said, the light to lighten the Gentiles. All right, so do you remember when you saw the light? Do you remember when you saw the light? Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was sweet to you? Is he still sweet to you?
Amen.
I hope he is.
Yes, sir.
Oh, our brother Danny Farley sang that song, Sweeter Each Day. Amen. That was a blessing to me, Sweeter Each Day. Look in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. Or actually look in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So not only are you waiting for him to come, man, you ought to remember where you came from. What a thing that you came with the low-down, dirty, I mean, in my case, talk about white trash, amen. I'm thank God the Lord brought me out of what I came out of. Amen. And I'm grateful. For he is our peace. No peace before Christ. There was no peace. I can remember there was no peace before Jesus Christ was in my life. Right. And man, I'm telling you what, when he entered in and when the Word of God came in, it helped slow it down a little bit anyway. Help level things out. I thank God for that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We need more people reproving some of these things, correcting it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And you can keep reading, man, you keep reading these passages, but thank God that you saw the light one day, and you ought to remember that, and you ought to proclaim those things. You think about over there in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what the Lord called us out of. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and it's our job again, once again, to proclaim those things and to tell other people, hey, I got saved. One of the greatest things you could ever do is tell somebody how you got saved. Amen. Help them understand. Because sometimes, man, I'm telling you, it's like a calf looking at a new gate when you say, hey, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And I'm not a very good speaker. I'm really not. And I feel like I'm not anyway. But I'll tell you this. When I start saying this is what happened to me, then it's like, oh, yeah, they start to get it. It seems like it anyway. I don't know if they do or not, but it seems like it to me that, hey, we're getting somewhere now. The wheels are spinning. All right, turn back to Luke chapter 2, and we'll be finished here real soon. Luke chapter 2. So there's a lot. There's a lot in this little passage here about Simeon. And verse 33, Simeon. In verse 33, it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Amen. Could you imagine? You mothers and you fathers, you know, you're at the hospital and this dude comes by and he says, this baby, he's going to be the savior of the world. He's going to lighten the Gentiles. And you're like, what the heck is... I mean, they had that, you know, they had the angel come by and tell them some of them things, but I'm sure they were already freaked out by that. They're like, what is going on around here? And then here comes this guy, and it's just more things happening in their life. And Simeon blessed them in verse 34 and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And man, that's the verse that was kind of milling through my mind for a while. I have no idea why, but this child is set for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And I was thinking about that the way I pondered it in my finite mind was, man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's out to help you, but he can either be a great stumbling block or a stepping stone. Just like we've heard preaching about that about Christians. And there's so many people that are confounded by this man, Jesus Christ, in the world today. They're just confounded by it. And Jesus Christ isn't there to strictly be a stumbling stone to them, but he could be. He could be. You know why I say that? Because he, like I said, God made his stamp with Jesus Christ, and he drew the line in the sand just like Moses did way back there in the book of Exodus, and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come to me. That's the line, Calvary. That's the line right there. And Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, he is the line. And you got to step on his side. You got to come through Calvary if you're going to go to heaven when you die. And I know you guys know that. But if you're going to receive blessings from God, or if you're going to, not just blessings, I'm saying if you're going to have peace with God, you're going to have to be on his side. Yeah, yeah. And it's a terrible thought to be saved and on your way to heaven and to be contrary to God and to live contrary to God's law and to God's way, to God's word. And that's just a baffling thing how that can happen. But you talk about these signs and these things that they're talking about. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. I'll show you what he was talking about here. Or what came to pass. This is a prophecy, amen, before Jesus Christ was grown. And here in Matthew 12, Jesus has started he's in his ministry now. He's doing the things that he did. And look what these Pharisees say in Matthew chapter 12. You all know this, I'm sure, but it's good to read anyway, amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And it's just like some folks come to church. Hey, let's see what's going to happen to church this time. Let's see what's going to happen down here. Let's see what's going to happen this time. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I'll tell you, sweet loving baby Jesus sometimes, he wasn't so sweet. And he said, and they deserved it though, amen. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And in another place they're saying, what's he talking about? No prophet came from Galilee. Little do they know. And he said, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Wow. Wow. And what a thing. Here in the end days and time of Laodicea, man, could you imagine? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because we've been justified by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. But could you imagine that there's going to be lost people going to hell that lived more moral and just lives than you and I? It's going to happen. There's people that live staunch lives in any religious system. I mean, we like to hit on Catholic Church and, you know, these Catholics and all these things, and it's sad. Sad to think that a little old lady who went to confession and gave to her church and did all these things her whole life and never really did any kind of hard sin, she's going to wind up going to hell because she didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't call on him and ask him to save her and have forgiveness of sins. She was trusting in some man rather than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a thing. And then you got Muslims. I can't stand them. I'll just say that, according to the flesh. But when you take a step back and think that them people, they live for what they live for, and they do the things that they do, and then they're going to live and die in hell and go forever, you know, be there forever. To think that they live that kind of life, and those women that go through whatever they go through. I mean, I've only heard things. I don't really know. I've heard, you know, how they're beaten and everything else, and what a wretched life that is. And then they live that whole life believing a lie, and then they die and go to hell. Thank God we have the truth, man.
Amen.
And we shouldn't take it lightly. We do. I have, and I admit it, I have taken it lightly too many times. And it shouldn't be so.
Yep.
Shall condemn it because, looking back in Matthew 12, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Here he gets them again. Pharisees come at him again. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. He just said, you guys are you're wicked and adulterous generation. You're going to get the sign of Jonas, and that's all I got to tell you. Just like the Bible says in Proverbs, answer a fool according to his folly, or answer not a fool according to his folly, lest it be like unto him. So this man, Simeon, back to what we were talking about, I don't know if that's exactly related to those things, but he said he's going to be a sign. And this is the sign that Jesus Christ said himself that was going to be presented to these Jews, that he was who he said he was. He was going to be like the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whales, so am I going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so how many times does the Lord have to tell these Pharisees that, you know, I'm the one. I'm the guy. I'm Jesus Christ. He didn't flaunt it like that. But how many times did he have to admonish these people? And how many times do we have to be admonished and instructed? I mean, daily, amen? Thank God he puts up with us. Thank God for his long suffering that he can. But what's it going to take for it to finally click? What's it going to take for you to settle in your hearts to live for God the way you ought to?
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have the grace of God, man.
Amen.
And there's nobody in here that can say they've got it all figured out and they got it all straight, because nobody does. And I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ puts up with us, puts up with me. But my goodness, man, what's it going to take for some people? Some of these people that used to be here, what's it going to take for them to realize that there's nothing out there?
Amen.
The Bible says over there, this passage gets me a lot too. This in Galatians, it says, but now that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements of this world?
Amen.
That's pretty heavy. You've known God, or rather you are known of God, the fact that God even knows you. How can you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements?
Amen.
And it seems complex, but you know the fact is it's just that the simplicity of the Bible and the simplicity of the gospel, it's either your will or his will.
Yep.
It doesn't make it easy, but it is simple.
Amen.
Doesn't make it easy at all. Back in Luke 2:34, he said, this child is set for the rise and fall again of many in Israel. And like I was saying, Jesus Christ can either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block in your life. And thank God sometimes he can stumble you or stop you from doing things that you wanted to do.
Thank God
he has that ability and he does those things for his children. Look over 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. These good passages. I'd like to read a lot more, but cut it down. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Amen. Jesus Christ is precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's how we're accepted in the beloved, through Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Man, some of the things Jesus Christ said was highly offensive. He said, if you don't hate your father and mother and child more than me, you can't be my disciple. Now, take it how you want, but he said those words, did he not?
Yep.
Take it how you want. Another place he said his mother and his siblings were around and said, you know, they were here to see Jesus. He said, you see these people over here, these disciples? They're my brethren and mother and sister. These people that want to do the will of God. There's a lot of folks in here that had to have been separated from their family. He's a divider at times. He can be. If you're going to follow God and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be contrary to the things of this world. And he said it right there. He's going to be a rock of offense there in 1 Peter 2:8. Even to them which stumble at the word. This Bible can be offensive at times for people. It's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. And it's going to be up to you if you're going to surrender your will and say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but it says it.
Amen.
And I need your grace. I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit to show me what's right in this thing because I don't know.
Amen.
And so you can be humble before you stumble or go ahead and get stumbled, you know, stumble. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Back to what we were talking about earlier. So these are some things. You see, you got Simeon. I'm going to wrap it up now. Simeon, he was in, it's this cute little, you know, the peas or whatever. He was in the right place, his position, right? Geographically, he was in a good spot. And then spiritually, it seems like, according to the Word of God, he was in a good place. He was in a good position. You know, he was just and devout. He had the Holy Spirit on him. He had the Holy Ghost with him. He made that proclamation when he saw Jesus Christ. It's every person's job in here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And then he prophesied that thing. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ can either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block to you. And God forbid if there's anybody in here that's lost, he can be the stone that'll grind you to powder, and that's a whole other thing, you know, according to the Word of God. And so just like the old hymn says, this hymn came to my mind today, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? If you're not saved in here, you're going to face God Almighty at the great white throne judgment. And you're going to be judged by God according to your works. And if your name's not found written in the book of life, this is the passage that convinced me that I was going there, that I was going to the lake of fire. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you will be cast in the lake of fire. If you're not saved in here, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ out of your heart and called on him and asked him to save you and believed on him and asked him to forgive you, you're going to go there if your name's not written in that book. And so I would beg you, to get it settled right now, right where you're sitting. Call on Jesus Christ out of your heart and ask him to save you and ask him to forgive you, and he will. Amen. You got a whole room of people that can testify that he'll save you in an instant, in an instant. And that's one of the greatest things you could ever do. It is the greatest. Nothing else matters. Well, nothing else matters if you're going to live this whole life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And no matter what you gain in this life, and it's not all about just riches, you can gain experience and go through things. You might have a horrible, terrible life. Like I was saying, some of those people in third world countries, these Muslims that Muslim women that get beat and get stoned, and then where does their soul go after those things if they're not saved? It goes to hell. What a thing. Will Jesus Christ be your stepping stone or your stumbling block? And guess what? If you're saved, Paul said, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. These are all things that you ought to keep in remembrance all the time. I'm thankful that I don't run around here, waiting for God's hammer to fall down on me. If I'm doing wrong, then yeah, you better expect it. You better be looking out for the rod of God coming down. But man, I can rejoice thinking about him coming back. Amen. And thinking about my position that I'm in. Spiritually, I'm seated in heavenly places already. Man, I've got a great life. And the physical blessings that I have, a good home, a good family, a good job, these things that I have, man, I'm blessed. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with proclaiming that and talking about that. There's nothing wrong with those things if it doesn't keep you from God. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to answer to him one day. And I know we all know this, but you couldn't express it enough. And I want to encourage you, exhort you to take heed while you have time. To get things, settle things in your heart with God, whatever it might be, whatever might slow you down, because as you're pulling through this life, you're going to slow down a little bit. Some things might trip you up here, trip you up there, but Jesus Christ is there to help you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's way lighter than the way of a transgressor, I'll tell you that. I can testify to that. The little bit of effort and a little bit of things that I've got to see and do for Jesus Christ, the burden has been far, far, far lighter than the burden I had as in living as a transgressor and lost in this world without God and without Jesus Christ. So I hope that was a blessing looking about Simeon in the Bible and the things that are talked about him. You never know. There's little treasures, there's little gems in the Word of God that you just happen to read over so many times.
Amen. Amen.